CliffCentral.com. Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Hang on, I'll try and do that like a Kardashian.
Good morning, everybody.
Isn't that how the Kardashians talk, though?
No. You said it was your back that needed help, not your voice as well.
Jesus. Let me tell you something. All right, you laugh it up, Sia Sangweni. How old are you? 24, 25?
25 in a few weeks.
Yes, it's coming at you.
Quarter of a century.
See, once you cross that 25 mark.
Oh, no.
They're no longer... Those excuses that were available to you is like, I'm young and inexperienced, or I'm not old enough to know that stuff. They all fizzle away.
I'm rebuking that.
You can't.
I'm not freaking out over it. I'm not going to.
It's not up to you. It's just gone. And I am so old. I have been for the last 3 days. I woke up on Sunday morning. I don't know what happened. I might have slept really badly in some funny position. But the fact that I'm open to these bizarre vagaries of nature, that I should wake up and not be able to move like an ambulatory human being, is just appalling. I'm horrified at my useless old wreck of a body, that it is unable to support me in my old age. Fuck. So for Sunday, the whole day on Sunday, I promise you, I walked around, I said the other day, like a question mark. Uh-huh. I was bent over. On Monday, I came to work. I haven't missed any of my responsibilities, but I've been sitting at my desk in agony for the last 2 days. And this morning, I woke up thinking, I'll be better, and I've got an appointment with physio today. I'm going to get that sorted out. But my God, it's so awful when your body lets you down and you think you're invincible, you know? And I know this happens to people of all ages, so it's not necessarily about being old. But I just don't find it acceptable that there's something in some muscle in my back at the moment that's spasming and causing me such unbelievable, irreparable mental damage.
That is just freaked out.
Yeah, it's freaked out and it's freaking me out. Stupid, dumb body. Gotta get a new one.
I'm now starting to see that the likes of my grandparents and my parents aren't really crazy with some of the things that they do. Now, my dad has been drinking these herbal whatnots for years now.
Yes, tell me.
My grandfather, before passed away, had this concoction that included vinegar every single night. Vinegar and honey and some hot water.
Yes.
You need something to help with aging. So
right.
Maybe you need to jump on that. I don't know, start yoga.
Yoga. I need to do yoga, Pilates. I mean, it's bad enough that I couldn't even go to gym for the
last
3 days.
Find something to help.
Yeah, like bingo. You're going to have to start playing bingo now with all your old friends.
I've been having back problems. It's a joll.
It's so bad.
I'm going to go see my oak after this.
Are you? Yeah, I'm also.
Maintenance becomes the joll. It becomes like services regularly or your brake pads will grind.
Wait, Gordon, now... You have an oak that you see regularly for your back.
I've got an oak without whom I don't know how I'd even be walking. Like when my back goes, I can't do anything. It's just agony. Like you could dangle the 100 million euro lottery ticket in front of me and say, just get up and grab this in less than 4 minutes and you can have it. And I would just wish I didn't try because of the pain. People also tell me that chiropractor is bullshit. I've seen Penn and Teller prove that it's bullshit, quote unquote.
Sure.
And without my guy, and it's not psychosomatic. Mm. Like he's become a very good friend of mine, Dr. Jason Pfeiffer from Bodyworks Chiropractic in Sunninghill.
Oh, well, there we go.
He texts me my prognosis, and I go to chiropractors in other countries, except for the Dutch one who sucked. Oh. And they crack me around, and then I feel a bit better. I've got all sorts of disc issues and boring shit, but if you feel it coming on and you go and get it sorted out, you're all right. If you ignore the warnings, something will happen. You get a little zzzt, and that's like
You guys are making growing older sound so exciting.
And there was our homie, there was our homie Ben Kopinski, who also used to describe his aging process with great joy.
I'm giving you 3 more weeks until you start eliminating solid food out of your diet because your delicate teeth can't handle it.
You can only drink soup and eat pudding.
I don't mind the idea of that. What kind of bread can we have with a soup?
I'm giving you jelly for your birthday this year.
Pudding.
Chewing has become an issue.
Gord is now unable to chew.
Still can swallow, so it's fine.
Listen.
Shame, people.
First things first, because we've got a lot to get through today.
Excuse.
Everybody's talking about that that fight.
The Kyalami ninjas.
Which we didn't really talk about the Kyalami ninjas, but I see, Gord, you were quick off the mark here, and you immediately...
We actually were slow off the mark, and I almost didn't make that video yesterday because whoever the dude is that does the funny David Attenborough things, he did a really funny one. Mm-hmm. There was another one where, I don't know, it was Mortal Kombat sounds. Lots of people have gotten on it, and we at Budfighter didn't have a chance, you know, between it coming out the day before yesterday and doing it yesterday. So, but being Budfighter, like literally, we didn't count, but literally hundreds, possibly thousands of people kept tagging us in all the different iterations.
Yeah.
So we just clapped one as quickly as we could yesterday afternoon.
Almost 100,000 downloads.
75,000 when I got up this morning.
Well done. See, people like this, and you've got a window of opportunity there. If you strike while the iron's hot, it gets. And everybody thinks it's because you want a trend or whatever, but actually, in this case, it's because it'll help you to sell some more Budfighter.
Yeah, it entertains people and spreads our brand, you know, win-win.
And in their minds, they link the two. So here
it is. 17.8 billion of you have tagged us in this video and asked us to analyze it. So here we go. Can tell you up front that this is a deeply cuck fight. However, you have to give that alpha male props for going to the pool with his sword. I personally never go anywhere without one. And that with his broken golf club. He actually puts it away at a key moment where you, if you have a sword, should keep it out. So that's his first mistake. Now you can see these oaks are clearly long-time students of the WWE, informed by their fighting style. This oak's son is here to encourage him, patting him on the back. Go, Dad! Go, Dad! It's the importance of family. Those two ladies fighting in the background, I'm not sure which one is protecting who from who, but it looks like they're pretty evenly matched. And I think we might be witnessing a sex crime here, but I'm not 100% certain. Okay, he's all right. He's all right. That oak did get dripped, but I think it's more sweating out of his pores because he hasn't done cardio in at least 25 years. You'll notice the dachshund on the woman's side there. That's actually a dog that you get for your dog. My pitbull Decker has 2. Used to be 3, but a charred one. But see, now this is where it degenerates. When it goes to conversation and oaks start trying to use their words, that's where progress fails. The dribbing was getting somewhere.
Anyway, you get the basic idea. It's hilarious. So that's
the
been
dribbing
doing
was
the
getting
wrong.
Somewhere. But the talking, no.
But there've been a few really embarrassing videos lately. I mean, there's that one that also is busy doing the rounds of the guys at the Maponya funeral. You seen that?
Oh, that is cringeworthy.
Jesus, it's horrible.
Is that the cops not turning around in the right direction?
Yeah, it's the cops who don't know that they, you know, how to do an about turn.
They're not ambi turners.
No. Well, they don't know the difference between left and right. So.
But the thing is that changes. Depending on which way you're facing.
Yeah.
No.
This has been going around the last 2 days, and they honestly don't know which way is left and which way is right. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Oh, no, man.
These are people who have so many fucking medals on their I'm wondering what those medals are for, because they're not for direction or maths
not
or basic
for turning.
Literacy. Yeah.
But, I mean, not everyone's an ambi-turner, and the problem with knowing the direction of knowing the difference between left and right is that if now we form two columns and we're facing each other, like, now your left is my right. So we actually have to agree beforehand which row is going to be turning left and which rows. Because if we all turn left, then essentially we're in for
trouble.
I'm
not going to comment on the state of the SAPS or the army because, look, I don't know the nuts and bolts there. This is just part of – this is like simple choreography.
This is,
all they had to do
it
beforehand –
took one quick instruction and maybe a rehearsal.
That's it.
Because you're going to be on TV, you're at a famous man's funeral. It is your job to bring some dignity to the occasion. These are the top brass of our police force.
You don't need a rehearsal, you just need to discuss beforehand. Okay, us four are going left. So everyone face the crowd, walk that way.
Yeah.
At this point, someone could have fallen straight into the like a pit.
If you have to rehearse that, you've already failed.
This is a graveyard.
It's just so embarrassing.
Could have tripped on a tombstone or something.
It's so embarrassing. And again, it just gives you the idea that we've got a bunch of people who are in charge of this country and in charge of our defense force and our police force and everybody else and all the parastatals who are really just play acting. They're pretending. And, I, you know, I've got to say, and I never thought I'd get to a point in such a short time where I'd be able to say and not have to worry that there would be smart people disagreeing with me. Mm-hmm. That I do believe a lot of this has to do with window dressing and affirmative action and BEE, because we've got patronizing white people who have liberal intentions, who have been behind this policy making, and we've got a lot of incompetent, incapable black people who've been promoted beyond their ability into positions because of that policy. And it's made it difficult for the really competent people to shine, because no one's going to pass around a video of how brilliant Richard Maponya was during his life.
Because it's not being overshadowed by
or this. How, and we spoke about this with Anthea on Monday morning, how Daniel Minnelli is a really smart guy who's an economist who has a terrific track record. Instead, it's going to be about that Daniel Minnelli is black or that these guys are incompetent. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's because we're so obsessed with racial quotas and racism and race that, and I say we, I mean the government obviously, that it's more important for them to window dress this thing than to have actually competent people. If you had someone who'd had police service in their blood, if they'd been in the police force their whole life and they had learnt and they'd been drilling every morning and all of that stuff in the early part of their career, they'd know exactly what it was that you had to turn left or right to. And I know it sounds like a silly little thing, but this is important. If you have an undisciplined army, and we have an undisciplined country, white and black, and those white people fighting before that are just the same, it's indicative of this idea that people know what to do. They don't. They don't know what to do. They can't behave themselves. They're a bunch of lunatics. And we have this bizarre situation in this country where we tell each other lies, and we hope that one day they'll come true.
Mm.
And they're just not coming true quickly enough for the government.
It's just getting the basics right, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is getting the basics right. And something like that whole police formation thing just speaks to...
I just feel for like there's the family of... You know, if they'd hired ADT, they would have had a better fucking show, you know?
Yeah.
That would be the funniest thing in the world.
Bunch of ADT guards.
If a police funeral had ADT as their security.
Well, you know that there are many police stations around the country that do have private security guarding the police stations. It's not even a joke. So you were trying to be funny there.
I was.
Which you are.
I was looking for witty angle.
That was a good witty
and
angle.
And in reality,
except that actually in the real world, that is what's going on.
It's the best humor and also the most heartbreaking is the one that's based in truth.
Oh, man.
No, but Gareth, you've nailed it there. You've raised such a good point, especially with that kind of the BE angle. What's even more insidious than that is that we've allowed things like nepotism at parastatal government level to become acceptable now. So just being black and knowing the right black guy means you've got the job.
Yeah.
So the thousands of capable black people are locked out, and then the citizens suffer.
And,
right?
And you know that also makes those people feel like they have to do 10 times the amount of work to prove they're not a BEE appointment or an affirmative action appointment. And that, I think, is so unfair, because you should be accepted on your merits, for whoever you are, whatever job you enter into, people should be going, well, you know what? The reason Gord's there, the reason Sia's there, the reason Bulelo's there is because they're obviously the best person for the job.
Well, it's nepotism in our case. We drank together a few times at some FHM events, and now you gave me a job.
All right. Some messages this morning already pouring in. One for Gord in a minute. Good morning, guys. The incompetence and mediocrity of the people in power has become the norm. Imagine what would happen if the North Korean military fucked up their hell march. That hell march is hugely impressive. That's from KC.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass,
they'd be shot dead. They'd be shot dead. If you ruined the parade, dead.
But look, I mean,
when they lost that soccer match, people hid away in this country so they wouldn't have to go back home and be shot.
Fear of death. Yes. I think we need a sort of middle ground.
I know.
I'm all right with an oak turning the wrong way. Once in his career, we can not kill him.
Absolutely. No, I'm not. By no means am I saying
there's a middle ground between zero qualification whatsoever and be perfect or we'll kill you.
Good point.
Michael says, it sounds like our police force is made up of a bunch of Derek Zoolanders who physically and mentally can only turn in one direction.
They're at least handsome. I mean, Zoolander's a beautiful man. Yeah. The most beautiful man, some would argue.
Look, and it also says a lot when Rasta, who's now infamous for his horrible drawings, or paintings rather, isn't the one being spoken about after the funeral, and it's rather our police force. This is sad.
Well, that's exactly the thing, right? Like, I'm sad for the family. South African army at a recent display of force. The guy almost blew another guy's head off with a mortar round.
No.
Yeah, there's a video of that going around too.
Oh, wait, but people, can we go back to that Kyle Army video? Because
yes,
I don't
please.
Think we have given it the analysis it deserves. There's so much going on in that video. I don't know what
so
to go
much
for
going
first.
On.
Does anyone have more context on what actually happened there?
Well, a good friend of mine, we'll just call her Yvonne, because that's what we call her. She knows the one lady, and she said she didn't know what actually happened, except that the one lady, who's like the matriarch of one of the warring families, she's a very lovely person, and she works in a very reputable agency, and she's like not a pro cage fighter woman. She's just so I know, like, based on someone that knows the mother of one of the families, that they're actually relatively normal people.
Yes.
Who don't like
citizens.
Golf club / panga fight in their driveway often. So something must have really set them off. This is, again, the next phase of assumption based on that. Something must have really set them off there. They're not the kind that, like, throw things at their neighbors usually.
Set them off to the point where
I want to know why the O's got his sword / giant letter opener with him while he goes to the complex pool.
Set them off to the point where A, they are all willing to fight, but this is what I wanted to know. B, why are, like, most of the people in that video shirtless?
Because it's dead. But
like, does it go back to that animalistic, oh, I'm ready to fight, and you rip your shirt
it's
off?
Weird,
like,
okay, it feels to me more like they might have already been doing gardeny pool things. Mm. It feels like one of those bras where the older white people are subtly racist, and it's very awkward. It's like, let's have a nice racist rugby bra. I mean, I'm not for a second saying I have any reason to believe these individuals are racist. I'm just saying it feels like one of those estate Sunday, you know.
Ugh.
I've got a black friend too.
No, that's sort of what it is. I know somebody who, whenever he gets like really uptight, and you know, he like someone threatens his wife or whatever, he also rips his shirt off. It's like the most bizarre. It is animal.
But it is.
That's the reptile brain again.
These dudes really can't fight, right? So anyone who knows me knows I'm the furthest thing from a tough guy. I hate a fight, but in the context of combat sport, I enjoy it. Also, like super, like. Not like competitive level, but I can fight a bit. And like any able-bodied person without a disability and an IQ of over 90 between age 10 and 70 that goes for 3 months to any legitimate martial art or boxing class can smash every one of those dudes because they all Alan Donald punch, and you just have to go down the middle, like two straight punches. I line them up, I'll fight all of them. And I'm not a tough guy. I'm just saying, if you have your grade 2 level fighting equivalency, you can smash all those dudes. So the toughest oaks who pull off their shirts and get all argy-bargy clearly don't know how to, have never thrown a proper punch in their life.
And then
I agree with you.
The guy
oaks that
who
have
decided
thrown a proper
to bring
punch,
the sword, I
the,
don't know.
The oaks that have thrown a proper punch in their life, while still possibly will be tough guy dickheads, are less likely to engage in that kind of...
Well, I'm just going to say again, there are two things that I took from this. Number one, very bad breeding. And number two, all BMWs.
Be massive wankers, as we call them.
A lot of BMWs.
And one Hyundai to ruin
souped
the whole jewel.
Yeah.
I would go to the... That might be what the fight was about. Like, Axe, you're having your bra? That's fine. But we're not going to have your friends park Hyundais in this complex, China. There's outside or Uber here. All right, because this is a BMW complex. Unless you're going to cut that thing up with a credit card and snort it, I'm not interested in having it in this complex. It's the third time. Like, I know you're clearly dating this oak, and that's fine. I don't mind that kind of intermixing, but let's not have it park in front of everyone. But do what you want behind closed doors.
Because also, what is enough to get the whole family riled up? Like, I would far sooner leave my dad. Like, if he was in a vote, I'm like, okay, cheers, good luck there. You know, I wouldn't be like, yeah, let me also go. No, what's enough to rile the whole family up? The mothers are involved.
Yeah, and the dachshund.
But tell me this, when you have a sword so in a sheath,
you need to go and get that from somewhere. Yes. Like, is there not a shirt
I've
on the
been
way?
Saying it. Yeah. Either that oak takes his giant letter opener to the pool so with him, or he had to run inside and get it. And then you notice how he's got the sword, and he's like prodding the other oak with it. But now that he knows it's actually going to go down, he's like, "Oh crap! Real fight. Got to put the sword away."
I think he's
and
being very responsible.
And the only shot that gets landed properly is when the O's putting his sword away. The other oak, Alan Donald's him, front fisted in the face, and everybody else is so hesitant. Like, if you really want to pull an oak off another oak, just knee him in the side of the head.
But
end
also,
of wrestle.
How is it possible that I have, despite being mouthy and occasionally very annoying, and I'm the first to admit that, I piss off a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And how is it I've got to this stage in my life and I have not had a physical fight with anyone?
The Neanderthal audience don't understand your chirps.
So you don't arouse the oku would.
It's Dunning Kruger. People aren't smart enough to know how much fun you're taking.
This is the second time in a week that Dunning Kruger's come up.
It's a real thing. That's my new sort of philosophical outlook. I can't explain to you why you're wrong. We don't have the 3 weeks I need to teach you the basics of the thing you don't understand. And it's not necessarily a massive arrogant thing. Like, I'm so much smarter than everyone. It's just like people don't want to learn. They want to. They want to be right. But in this particular case, like, I desperately want to know what the altercation was about.
Me too.
Is it an ongoing neighborly feud?
Well, here's someone with a theory. Oh. There are lots of people with theories. This one is from Nikki. Nikki says, "Morning, guys. Around the Kailami incident, allegedly they're neighbors. The fight started between the youngest and the parents then got involved. But I still want to know why they were fighting. Was it over a chick?"
Yeah. Too much loud music. Your house music's not in tune with ours. The beats are conflicting. Starting to sound like drum and bass or actual music when you play them together. Because it's like if you and me are having neighboring butt briars, right?
Yeah.
And we're both going to play the one sacred house song. Mm-hmm. And you and me would need to go, "All right, Gareth, can you hear me over the wall? Y'all lekker? But play, press play in 3, 2, 1. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Play." And then yours will go. And they don't conflict. Out of time and it's noisy, but
just bizarre. Man. So weird.
Those lawns were gloriously manicured.
Great lawns. I was going to say that the inside of that estate looks pretty good.
Obviously, they mow them themselves because nice, so much care goes into.
Some nice fever trees.
Oh, we also have to commend the great camera work.
Yes.
Whoever absolutely. Was filming this, great camera work. Yeah. Gave us 360-degree views of
upright
everything.
Upright camera, which is always what you want.
Yes. Avoided having a fist flung at them.
Yes, this, very good.
Yeah. I think they have to be nominated
My
for
favorite
an Oscar,
part of
actually.
It, not in the Boot Fighter version, we used a cut down, but there's a long original version. I mean, it's painful to get through, but what you see in the long original version is the one young guy is yelling at the dude in the tactical security BMW, like, "Get the fuck out of here." Nah, 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 nah. And then as soon as the O stops, he just like goes quiet and backs off. And then the O starts to drive away again and he starts yelling at him, "You missed this and that." That's my favorite. After the fact that the gender non-specific kid in the pink shorts eats a banana. Like in the final scene of the unedited version, he's trying, because that'll, you need potassium for being a bit.
Yeah.
Like, where did he get it? 20 seconds ago, he was he was having handbags, and he's got tiny shorts on with nothing in the pockets, clearly, except maybe a Denny mushroom, and then he is eating a banana.
And a banana is such a fragile thing. Yeah. How in all of this rotting did
remember,
it not like...
Remember Hichu Bali Pulisi? That was another good one.
This is the sequel.
This is the sequel. That was obviously Afrikaans people in a not-so-well-manicured garden. Mm. But they were like using umbrellas, and the one guy had no legs.
Did
or had
he,
a leg.
Yes.
So had no back? The one oak had no legs?
Well, no, he was bouncing on...
The one guy had like a stump.
That he was using to hit somebody, or
no,
that was part of his body?
He was lurching at a car in which the people he'd just chased out of the house were escaping it.
That's confidence, bro.
I know, it's amazing.
Going after X when you haven't got any legs is confidence.
It's phenomenal.
He's obviously had like 3 fight lessons and therefore can handle a situation
but
like this.
I find the whole thing, like, obviously now we live in an age of social media. If you behave yourself badly...
Yeah, what do you expect's going to happen?
It's going to end up on the internet. And I'm sorry, these people, They may think it's funny for a little while, but ultimately,
I'm pretty sure the people in that video don't think it's funny.
No,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing. But this is the thing. It's the level of behavior two or three clicks beneath this, but still two or three clicks beneath decent that doesn't get on the internet.
Yeah.
There's shit like this where it's not, you know, it was the shouting and the woman going, he's stabbing him. He's stabbing him. It's that made it like entertaining. You know what I mean? That's the ridiculousness of it. People are this gross and don't get put on the internet.
But there are a lot of people who are doing much, much worse that are not being put on the internet. You know, people who are like abusing their own wives and that kind of
but
shit. You don't see that.
In all seriousness, like send your kids and like anything you should send your kids to, like piano lessons, whatever. If they hate it, then let them stop. But make them have a proper bash at jiu-jitsu. Or some sort of striking thing, because it's fun, it builds confidence, it prevents against bullying, and you never get pushed around by a fat neighbor with a letter opener.
But look, also, I think in raising upstanding and rational citizens, reaching that point shouldn't be the ultimate.
It stops you from being aggressive, in my experience. 9 times out of 10, it makes an aggressive person less aggressive.
Well, I would say if you see your neighbor.
It's good for your self-confidence. It's good for your self-belief. It's good for fitness. You'll grow up flexible. Mm. You know, it's like there's, again, it's not for everybody, but most people don't know until they've tried. And so many gyms of these sort of things are geared towards women and kids, and it's a friendly, fun environment. It's not like, you know, they throw you into the blood sport kumite and whoever survives get to go home and have a juice box.
But Gord, you make a great point. You know what else it serves? So a friend of mine who's a psychologist, she says not enough people have been punched in the face, so they don't know what
that's what's
like.
Wrong with the internet.
And that's very real. Is when you're young, you need to know what it feels like to be punched in the face, and you're less likely to think, oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, not in a way, like obviously not in some child abuse, like you got the shit beaten out of you every day bully situation, but you do need to realize that there's a point at which your behavior will get you clapped. Yeah. There's a consequence. On the internet, I always say, like, whatever you're saying on the internet, and I myself get carried away with a rant, whatever, but if you can't write it on a piece of cardboard and go into a busy shopping center and hold it up,
like the man
then
with the
don't,
sign.
Don't, if you can't say it to your own mom, don't post it on the internet, because the internet won't reach in and hit you.
Yeah.
I will eventually.
But, to be clear, I was just saying you should let 5-year-olds put on headgear and punch each other.
Oh, that's
because
fun,
you teach them the lessons that when you're like being punched in the face hurts. You got to create that behavior that's not a nice thing to do.
But the converse point of that is that being punched in the face, unless it breaks something, like unless you lose teeth or you break your nose, is actually not so bad. Once you get, it's not so bad.
Very humiliating.
That's the thing. Once you get, because then
I think it's more about that than
it is the actual.
Then
you drop to your knees.
The physical pain goes away. It's the humiliation.
But it's not humiliating if you learn to deal with it. If it just becomes a thing, like
I think what you guys are saying is moot. Because here are these people who were doing this, who are now on video. And what's embarrassing is that everywhere they go, people are going to laugh at them.
Yeah.
It's humiliating beyond belief. None of them showed up as being a good fighter or a good person.
They're all so generic that you won't be able to pick them out of a boot lineup. I mean, go to Billy's on any Friday and find me those oaks. You'll have 10. That like, okay, well, all 10 of these could be the old oak. This 500 lighties of the right haircut.
Like, true.
Probably. Apparently the kid was revving his quad bike too loudly.
Yes!
Please let that
okay,
be the
that
truth.
Does sound.
There's a racetrack in Kailami. Is that what they're going to be whinging about?
Neil says, please, baby Jesus, tell Gord to add these guys as one of the levels in Boot Fighter. I'll lose the freaking plot.
We have a couple of DLC. Like, we've got a brawl stage at BFC Africa at Carnageville City where you have to survive in the Septagon. We've got a Dodgy Roger, a road brawl stage. Like, lots of people have downloaded the game, and either because it's cuck or because people are cheap, they don't then buy stages 2 through 6 for $79. But if you play the story, you'll see we have stuff like this, and we do intend to add like these additional stages. So if something like this becomes culturally entrenched, we'll add it with the sound effects. He's stabbing him with his knife.
I couldn't agree more with Gord about learning jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
one of the philosophies I've been taught at my academy is that you have to learn to fight so that you don't have to. The principle is that you learn to avoid a verbal confrontation that escalates to a physical fight, or how to end a physical confrontation quickly if it does happen.
Oh.
And that's from Michael. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and jiu-jitsu is about wrapping yourself around a person in such a way. Most fights go to the ground, or hugging matches go to the ground. And, you can offset the size difference and whatever just by the small people have an advantage in some ways, big people. And jiu-jitsu, like, my back won't allow it, but I like to box. But jiu-jitsu, anyone can do at any age. It's fun. You don't get elbowed or punched in. You don't get struck in the face at all. Seriously, give it a try, even if you just want to get fit.
Look at this full circle conversation. Now it goes back to your back.
Well, I mean, that's why I don't do jiu-jitsu. I literally can't. I've tried, and my doctors told me, look, man, that's not for you. I wish I could. I wish I'd done it as a kid. I probably wouldn't have back problems and wouldn't have to get hit in the face when I do train, because jiu-jitsu guys don't hit each other.
Just one last point on this, because we've got to get to the five things you need to know. Carla says, "Ah, Gareth, I've seen how you avoid fights. You get the fuck out of there as soon as the temperature rises by 0.1 degrees. Yeah, well, that's smart. I don't get into fights.
Yeah. That's not an insult. Everyone that's alive right now, your ancestors were sissies. That's why you're alive. That's literally
what
happened.
I never thought of it like that.
True. The guys who go straight into the fight, some of them don't survive.
There has been people.
Yeah. My ancestors were totally hiding in the bushes when Shaga was putting together an army.
All of us.
I'm telling you, my great-great-grandfather was like walking on coal. Nuh-uh. I feel his spirit in me.
The cowardly ancestors of the people who live today. All right.
The cowardly survival gene.
A few headlines. The South African Banking Risk Information Center, that's SABRIC, said no local banks had been affected by potential malware attacks, and the institutions were operating as usual. Cybersecurity and antivirus provider Kaspersky issued a statement on Monday titled Silence Before the Storm about potential malware attacks on major banks in the sub-Saharan region of South Africa. It stated the Russian Silence hacking group was probably responsible. Uh-oh. Susan Potriter, who I wouldn't mess with if I was you, from SABRIC, said the banking industry took cybersecurity very seriously and had robust strategies in place.
Did anyone hear of this before today?
No.
Is it now not concerning to you that this happened without us knowing?
I think the banks are quietly dealing with these things every single day. They all have risk departments and security departments, and this is what they do. This is their whole job every single day.
I'm not going to say any specifics. Obviously, bad for my career, but I've worked in the last 2 years either in agencies working on the brands of, or internally in the actual banks of most of the major banks. And I can tell you from my experience with one of the very big ones, shit all is organized there. Shit all. Oh, there's those who don't know who their bosses are. There's one guy who's like, departments got merged and he can't find out who his boss is. This was a running joke for 5 months that I was there. And he was like, look, we have very strict KPIs. I'm still getting job tickets through the system. If I stop doing my job, someone will come cuck on me. I'm just getting on with it. I'm still getting my salary.
But then the
bureaucracy means like, okay, so there's a person in the other building 5 kilometers away that maybe knows who your boss is. Email her. Them, Zer. Email Z about. So you email them about, are you my boss? And do you know who it is? 2 weeks later, they'll reply to the mail saying, sorry, no, try Bram Johannes in the other building. And then you send Bram Johannes a meeting, and he takes 2 weeks to tell you, no, it's not me. And by the time in 3 months that the circuit mailed everybody, the last person told him to email the first person he emailed and asked them. So, like,
and then they'll
the circuit was
a
just like, eventually, KPIs are laying serious here. Eventually, someone's going to have to KPI me. And I'll wait. I'll just keep doing my job. This was a real thing. It was like not a joke. Wow. Like, he was super chilled about it, but he was like, no one knows who my boss is anymore.
Well, look, that's
and these
to
are the oaks that are supposed to fight against Russian malware attacks. Noitbrew.
Yes, I know it does speak to how big these banks are, but if there's now some hacking and some people meddling in things, I'm not surprised. But a couple of weeks ago, I heard of a glitch that actually happened with Discovery Bank to the point where the clients heard about it. And this glitch had didn't actually wipe out the money from each client's account, but if you had gone in to view the account balance, you would have seen 00. I would have freaked out if I was a client, because now you're like, wait, what happened to all of my money? Yes, it was back up and running in some time, but it's still just freaky that we have some people who just want to mess around with us.
Well, in Johannesburg, of course, the Zondo Commission goes on. State capture inquiry. Well, it felt like, according to one of the people testifying, Waterkloof Air Force Base had literally been captured when the Guptas landed a plane there. So said former senior Air Force official Christine Anderson, who's been testifying at the state capture inquiry. Anderson's name is synonymous with the infamous Gupta landing in April 2013 at the Watercliffe Air Force Base. Prior to the landing, she was allegedly often on the phone with the former head of state protocol, Bruce Kolwane. Kolwane testified he used Jacob Zuma's name without his knowledge. Anderson said this was the only time in her career a president's name had helped facilitate a landing. The way Ambassador Kolwane constantly referred to the knowledge of the president of this flight, I did not feel in my position I could query or question this, she testified. The inquiry continues on Wednesday. So isn't that interesting? We're now getting to grips with the very incident that first alerted us to the Guptas in a big way.
But how long would it take action to actually be taken, an inquiry to actually be conducted, if you turned out to have defrauded some company of 2 million rand? They'd process the shit out of you, this government.
Oh, for sure.
You wouldn't be having your first inquiry into how you defrauded that money in 7 years. And in the meantime, you know, stream as much internet as you like, bruh.
Carry on. 60 people were affected after a plane dumped jet fuel while returning to the Los Angeles International Airport on Tuesday, hitting 5 elementary schools and 1 high school. You know, sometimes planes dump excess fuel.
Yeah.
This one was flying quite low. The incident happened afternoon on Tuesday. Sean Ferguson of the LA County Fire Department told CNN the most heavily affected school was Park Avenue Elementary, where 20 children and 11 adults reported minor injuries. The school is 19 miles east of the airport. The other schools affected were San Gabriel Elementary and a bunch of others. Some people who were hit by the jet fuel were decontaminated with soap and water, but no one at any site needed to be taken to hospital. Uh-huh. Imagine you're just chilling in the playground of your school and a bunch of kerosene gets dropped on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's better than a plane full of people crashing and dying, but at the same time, you've got to be very unlucky, because they do try, if they're not like flying literally over a suburb, to dump that stuff somewhere where there isn't anyone. So it must have been really necessary. At least they didn't dump the latrine. They might have done so.
I've always thought that would be really funny. Of course, they don't empty the plane toilets while they're flying. A lot of people think
I wonder if they can, though.
No.
Because, I mean, they must carry a lot of water for the Senate. Like,
yeah. No, they've got tanks. But if they opened that up, there'd be pressure differentials and it would cause all kinds of chaos.
Science means we can't have a poo-spraying plane.
Well, imagine if you were on the loo in the plane and they decided to evacuate the tank underneath the toilet, and the pressure inside the tank then equaled the pressure outside, and it pulled your asshole right
through. I'm sure that's happened to someone.
I was just thinking, if the pressure changed, that it created a fountain where there should be an outlet pipe.
I think it would do the opposite. It would suck, not it would blow. Yeah.
It would suck and it would blow, depending.
It would suck your whole asshole through there.
Imagine your sphincter landing on a teacher. She's just teaching kids shapes in kindergarten. Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Well, it's the shape of an asshole.
Apparently, the children were given gowns so that they could change out of their clothes. Fire department inspectors said there were no reports of injuries, but a fifth grader was hit by the fuel. He said it sprayed all over him and his friends, even getting into his eye. Drops of water were coming down. I thought it was water. I thought it was a rainbow. And then I looked up. It was gasoline, he said.
That fifth grader sounds like me. Mm. He's already speaking to the press.
Oh, I mean, look, he's the one who's nobody being hurt dramatic. Or like damaged or anything like that. It's actually quite a cool story that you can tell for the rest of your life, you know?
But wouldn't you be just a little doubtful when jet fuel has hit you? And then these like medical professionals just bring soap and water.
Look,
like,
here you go. It'd be a lot worse if they brought a lit match.
I jawled very hard in the 90s and 2000s, so I can't criticize people who covered themselves in jet fuel. It's actually quite a jawl. thankfully, no. I think these kids were younger than the age of smoking behind the bike sheds, because that could have gone horribly pear.
Well, Toyota are recalling 700,000 Toyota and Lexus vehicles in the US because of issues with fuel pumps.
Ooh, pumps can stop. Shitty Toyota.
Well, I think it's only in the US. Mm. The pumps can stop operating, the company said, leading to engine failure. If a vehicle stall occurs while driving at higher speeds, this could increase the risk of a crash. Toyota say they're investigating the issue. When it comes up with a solution, they will notify owners by mail, certainly before March. Until then, good luck. That's from CNN. And then in the BBC, they're reporting about Trump launching a fresh attack on Apple over privacy. Listen to this. Donald Trump tweeted that the company was refusing to unlock iPhones used by killers, drug dealers, and other violent criminal elements. You remember when Oscar Pistorius and Reva were messaging each other and they were trying to break in to see what those messages were and they couldn't because Apple encrypt the stuff end to end? Well, Donald Trump says this is very unpatriotic and Apple need to find a way to unlock the stuff so that they can get hold of bad people. On Monday, U.S. Attorney General William Barr accused Apple of not being helpful in an inquiry into a shooting that is being treated as a terrorist act. It's the latest in a series of clashes between the White House and the technology giants of access to data. Mr. Trump accused Apple of refusing to cooperate with investigators despite his administration helping the company on trade and other issues.
Oh, and despite helping hand, a tit for tat, despite us doing a solid for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's unethical business practice. Also, I'm not the expert on American law, but somewhere in the Constitution, the right to not be fucking spied on by the government is a big deal.
Yep.
Like, literally, the president is going, you won't break these whatever amendments, so fuck you guys. We won't help you in the business anymore. It's like, dude, right. Can you conduct your corruption at least in private so it feels less like a fuck you to the world?
Well, we've had this discussion here before because we are reaching the point where I think there isn't much of a middle ground. You either have to be prepared for the fact that everything you do on your phone and everything you do on your laptop is going to be public at some point.
Or could be.
Or could be. And therefore, don't do anything illegal. Or dangerous. Probably some embarrassing stuff, but not illegal or dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think most people, if there's two types of people. People who watch porn and liars. So if you, you know, like, I think just about any of us would be pretty embarrassed and mortified and feel very personally invaded. But as long as there's no animals, kids, or non-consent in there, you know, like, you know, okay, like, whose business is it really? Like, don't do anything you can be jailed for. But I think, like, there's a lot that you could, just about anybody, obviously not everybody, but many, many people, there would be pretty damning stuff taken out of context. You know, you're sexting with people if you're single or not. Like, all of us have said some shit that would go down badly if pulled out of context and published. Like, yeah, Meredith Cliff said this.
So either you know that everything that you do and say on the internet is going to eventually be public, because it might, maybe when you're dead one day, but certainly that stuff is going to be archived somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you're comfortable with that because you're not doing anything illegal or really dangerous, then so what? Then everybody's information is, you know, it's free to all. Or there's privacy. And if there's privacy, there have to be rules in place. And somehow, I don't know that those rules are going to be solid. I think they're going to be bendable.
Yeah.
I think if you're involved in terrorist activity, we should be able to suspend those rules.
Well, I mean, they have to, like, it's the same as getting a search warrant for your house. They would need probable cause and actual evidence that there's a real reason why. And they can't just check because maybe. But no. The other thing that, to your point that you just made now, is that the rules can change.
Yeah.
You might be very well protected under the current rules. Your data belongs to whoever's free service you're complaining about using their free service. Yeah. I love that. People are like, Facebook can't do this and say that. I won't have it. Or like, I'm reposting this or Facebook will take away my right to not have pictures of my penis on the internet. Like, dude, you're telling it's there. It's a private service. Like, you're not entitled to it.
Yeah. You signed up to the terms and conditions.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also like, all of your deleted stuff lives on.
Yes.
I tried once many years ago. I accidentally deleted an email that was really important. And I know for a fact that everything, including what you've deleted in your Gmail or in your Facebook, still gets archived. So there's data that, like, obviously because of rules and whatever, I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but they can't even access your deleted data, but it still sits there. It still exists somewhere.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like, so yeah, delete this in a panic.
You know what my greatest fear is? I tell my roommates.
Parktown prawns.
Well, no, that's a great fear, not my greatest. And that's reasonable.
That's right up there.
You immediately jump to Parktown prawns.
Not even a question. Yeah. I take fears 2 through 10 at the same time before I deal with a fucking Parktown prawn.
Well, let me hit you with this one then. I tell my roommates every day, if I die in my sleep tonight, the first thing you do, I don't care. Delete my browser history purely because I don't want my mom seeing it.
Yeah.
All I care about is what my mother thinks of me. Once my mother's alive, she just mustn't see you in my browser history.
At this stage, you should delete your own browser history incognito. when you're drilling that stuff. And then it's not in your yard. I'll show you some tips on
how do you clear it permanently?
Look, I don't know. As long as my mom doesn't see what I search, that's all I care about. Yeah. Let's not get into the long grass about how and incognito.
I actually wanted at one point, and I kind of forgot about it, and I don't know why. I wanted to get a tattoo somewhere on me that's literally just very simple type, like Helvetica 14 point, that says in three rows, type O positive, organ donor, delete browser history. Because that shit's funny and can save a life.
True.
Well, you can clear everything apparently fairly easily. Anyway, I've got a much funnier story here. This is quite cool. And I think Gord will appreciate this being someone who is not of the religious bent. It's quite interesting. Like,
because the rest of us all are.
Yeah, of course.
Hallelujah.
You know who Ron Reagan is? He's Ronald Reagan's son.
No, I do not know Ronnie Reagan.
Okay. So Ron Reagan is Ronald Reagan's son.
Creatively named.
The former president. And he put a commercial on during the Democratic debate yesterday, which I thought was pretty interesting. He basically is advertising atheism.
Excellent, figuratively speaking.
So a lot of people are talking about this. You want to hear what the ad is?
Bring it.
Okay, so here it is. It's the FFRF, I'm not sure, Freedom From Religion Organization or something. Freedom From Religion Foundation. Here's Ron Reagan. Listen to this. Oh, for God's sake, and now I can't hear him. Hang on.
Fucking Religion Foundation.
No.
That's what I'd call my organization.
You call it that? Okay, sorry, here it is. It's short. This is not going to take up a lot of time, but it might interest some people, all right?
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Yes!
How cool is that?
Amen. Amen. My guy, Ron Reagan.
I got a tattoo on the back of my left arm that's lyrics from a Lamb of God song that says, "We seek only reprieve and welcome the darkness." It's like, just fucking leave everyone alone. Perform your like rituals and shit in private.
Right.
And I mean, it's literally also just kind of like, forget whether you believe it or not. Believe whatever you want. But from a government perspective, it's very exclusionary in a freedom of religion country to have the religion that's the government's preferred choice. You know, either you are a religious state or you aren't.
Like Iran.
If you aren't, like, if you're letting everyone equally practice their religion freely in a country, mm-hmm. the government can't openly be partisan to one of them.
Yep. A lot of people are referring to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and his manifesto that he wrote back in the 70s, where he predicted all this invasion of privacy by technology. And it is creepily accurate, according to some people.
Well, so is A Brave New World. Or is it just Brave New World? It's Brave New World.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I'm really not that bothered by it.
Yeah. I mean, like, all of these services are largely voluntary. So, like, I was saying just now about people using Facebook to bitch about Facebook and declare what they will and won't accept from Facebook. Like, Facebook's the government and must listen to them. Also, you've got, where was this guy? There's a... What did you say? Never mind. Lost my train of thought.
Someone's just had a brain
and I can smell popcorn.
I can smell almonds.
Oh, my God.
People ironically complaining about services that are free, basically. Oh, yes. This is flat. I was going to say flat earthers who use their Apple iPhones to complain about flat earth. Like, without the relay satellites, mate, your phone doesn't work. So that's a similar thing. Sorry about the brain fart.
KC has some very ugly criticism here for Bulelo. Your mom wouldn't even think or know about search history in Bulelo. Get your head out of your spoilt ass.
Sure.
You only need a sibling.
She manages the doctorate, but she won't know how to find it.
Sorry, yeah. Back in your box.
Casey, just because your mum is...
just because your mum can't read it, right?
Wiping ass.
I mean, my mum literally couldn't boot the computer to save my life. Like... So fair enough. There are moms out there like that, but assumption just got your ass very publicly kicked.
Sure. With all the love in the world, I'm glad that wasn't directed to my mother as well, because I would be like, well, she managed to have a very solid Tupperware collection. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like your mom and my mom together couldn't crack one of our computers.
Bulelo, speaking of you, let's have a little sport update for this morning. What have we got going on?
Cool. Let's get into it. We've got the cricket. AB de Villiers at the age of 35 is talking about coming back to play for the Proteas in the T20 World Cup. He's 35. In cricket years,
that's too old.
Gareth, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Do we need to tell him not to?
Well, look, his mates are back in charge. So old Graham Smith, and they got Jacques Cullis back. So they're getting the Backstreet Boys back together.
But if there is he's like the Zlatan of cricket. If there is an oak that can pull it off.
Yeah,
AB is like so good he stopped playing. Like, okay, this is boring. Bring me real opposition.
Yeah, but like my thing is, we're so sentimental in South African sport, right? That's why the cricket don't win. It's like, just fire the oak. We got youngsters playing now. Like, how many times we got to bring the guy back? He couldn't win when we had Cullis and Smith at his peak. What are we going to do? Win now.
All right.
So not happy about that. AB, go back to making videos. And Gareth, you got to tell people about AB's music. And tell me about AB's music.
We'd have to refresh because it's distant in my memory. I just remember it was deeply cuck. And I've blocked it out along with my childhood as shit to like bury deep.
Mark your drum of war. Go and check that out, AB de Villiers. I'd stick to that, AB. You've done your thing. Go play IPL.
But also, he's made a lot of money out of doing the IPL, and he doesn't have to worry. Why is he doing this?
He's playing in Adelaide. So right now, he's playing for the Adelaide Strikers and what is probably the second biggest tournament in the world in T20 called Big Bash. He does not need the money. AB, stay away. But he says he's looking forward to coming back. My opinion, no. Mark your drum of war. Go
like
and check it out.
Going to a new restaurant. You know, it can only suck once. Like, if the O completely sucks on his first try, we don't have him back. If he's clapping like an average of 116 for the tournament, you might have to apologize. I say it's AB. He's earned the right to have a quick bash. And if he doesn't get it right, then, well, sorry, AB.
No, I like that, but sport should always be, what have you done for me lately? I don't care about what did for me.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see how it goes.
AB de Villiers. All right, well, so a lot of people up in the air about that, Gareth. I'm falling on the side of AB. Keep it moving. It's 2020.
Okay, what else is going on?
All right, Gord's team at the moment, folks, if you don't know, he supports Manchester United. The last weekend they went and beat Norwich, which was a huge result for them.
Massive.
So listen, they're performing substandard at the moment. We got Gord here, so I thought maybe we'd ask him a few questions, see what he thinks of his team's chances right now, and exactly what he thinks of the setup. So Gord,
I'm excited to be scapegoated for your hatred of one specific team, but let's have it.
All righty. Gord, welcome to the show.
Objective journalism at its very best.
Absolutely. So Gord, talk to me. What do you think of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a manager?
I think too much about the Glazers and Ed Woodward is placed on his shoulders. I think given the squad that he has, and people argue that Mourinho had the same squad, but that's not the case. He's doing a very good job of blooding the youngsters, and he's doing a very good job given the largely shite squad he's got, and with some of his best players lost to injury and or fuckery. I don't know if Pogba's really injured or that's a speculative story, but he doesn't have McTominay, he doesn't have Pogba. God only knows what Fred's doing in the side. Like, he needs a proper transfer window. So, short answer is, I like him. It's not perfect, and he's blamed for a lot of shit that isn't his fault. And he's doing quite well with what he has.
How much longer do you give him?
I think he'll finish the season, and depending on where we finish at the end of the season, I think it would have to go. We'd have to, like, lose 7 in a row, which is possible for him to get fired during the season. Mm-hmm. I think it'd have to be catastrophically bad. Where we finish at the end of the season will determine if there's and if someone else is available. We've knee-jerk reactioned who's available 3 times in a row. It would be nice if we could go, okay, well, let's sit with what we have until the right guy comes along.
Okay, so you've segued into my last question about Man United nicely. Do you think Man United will get the top 4? And for those who don't know why that's important, you get into the something called the European Champions League.
Money.
Man United top 4? Sure. No.
The way that we've been struggling to beat the lower league teams, I mean, we've worked hard not to be in fourth right now. And, you know, I honestly can't answer because should we beat the teams we have no right to lose against, we should easily make top 4 or at least comfortably compete for it. But we'll probably lose to teams like Norwich and beat teams like Tottenham and
Sure.
All right, and we like people.
Gordon, it sounds like you're a bit depressed about this whole thing.
Not depressed, just
Gareth.
The pain is. I'm used to the pain.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've Eckhart Tolle'd this. I'm like, I look at the pain, I accept it, I acknowledge it, and it's part of who I am. Yeah. So love it.
The full cycle. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, and you've stopped bargaining.
I've accepted it.
Excellent. All right. Well, we like oaks being punched in the face. Everybody likes that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we watch videos of Kailami estate fights and Hugo Balipulisi.
Yeah, that's exactly why we watch it. But we got this Irish guy who got pretty famous for doing it. Conor McGregor.
Saturday night / Sunday morning is going to be a jaw.
There it is. So take us through it. Does Conor have any chance against Donald Cerrone? What do you think?
Cerrone is the ultimate badass. I mean, he's been top five his whole career. He's got the most wins, the most stoppages by knockout, the most stoppages by head kick, the most fight bonuses, $1.5 million in stoppage bonuses alone. He is... like just a boss. He's not the greatest of all time, but he's that oak that can fuck anyone up if he puts his mind to it. This is just, forget the Conor McGregor hype. This is just a good fight. It's a good fight because the Muay Thai of Cowboy will, you know, is very unforgiving. And over 1, 2, or 3 rounds, he can just smash you ongoing. Conor needs to look for that opening and land a few big shots. So it's, I worry that this will be really bad for Conor's career if he doesn't win, because Cerrone can beat anyone on his day.
Mm.
And losing to Cerrone isn't the failed comeback it might look like. You know what I mean? The same as he could have lost to Alvarez, the same as he could have lost to Aldo, he just didn't. These were always guys that might beat him. So I prefer Cowboy, and he's my guy, but for the good of how much fun we still might have left in us with Conor, at this stage of his career, he's in the best shape he's ever been in. His training videos, he's taking it seriously. He's been humbled. So I kind of want Conor to win just so that Conor can continue.
All right, Cord, we're going to get off the fence. Who wins, Conor or Cerrone?
It is literally it's a coin toss. But because I hope Conor, let's go with Conor.
All right, hope Conor. Okay. All right, there you have it. He's back in the game. Conor McGregor.
Great other fights on that card. Pettis is on the card. I've drawn a complete blank now because it's Brain Fart Wednesday. But there's some other really good fights on that card too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Conor's back. That's awesome for the sport.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mbolelo. Thank you, Gord. We got a few messages to get to here quickly. Hey, G, just touching on your David Greer chat from yesterday. We did a bunch of winners. You should definitely have him on your show. I met him at the end of last year, and the stories he can tell you about the Great Wall of China are out of this world. A seriously interesting man. Great show. Thank you. Wow, that's very nice.
That's the dude who runs to... the guy that runs to raise funds and awareness for illnesses and stuff. Yeah, I did some work on... That's an amazing man. True.
Well,
that.
You see, Gord knew about him before we spoke about him, but there we are. And that's from Samantha. Fuck you, Mbulelu. AB is still the man. The bloody youngsters you are raving about are no good for cricket. They've screwed up at the World Cup because they were more worried about scratching their balls. I would like AB back and get those misfiring so-called professional youngsters to compete for their place in the team. Sure.
I love it.
Some fighting words.
And let's
morning.
Get more feedback. I love
from,
that.
It's from Vinny. Billy.
Out of interest, how did Vinny spell Mbulelo's name?
Imabululelulu.
I love you, Vinny.
And then finally, Ole is preparing a team for Pochettino?
Yeah, Okay. All right, there's an interesting topic.
He's not the man to take us forward. Tactically, he is clueless. He's a one-trick pony, and that is some criticism, obviously, from Tabo.
Yeah. Look, all I mean, I see that point of view. I don't necessarily agree. But, yeah, I mean, if he's building a squad, clearing out the garbage, bringing in the youngsters, and it's for the good of Poch, then fine.
Sure. All right, is that your final say on the matter?
Yes, yes. Okay. I didn't re-bring it up. The gentleman listener did.
Okay, no problem. That's enough for now. CliffCentral.com, when we come back, we'll hit some of the news stories. We'll get into what you want to talk about, 0797482090. Let us know what's up, and we'll get to some fun stuff as well. It's all happening this morning. It's Wednesday on CliffCentral.
Here's some Slayer.
Just some Slayer. No, that would go old school, but not Slayer.
CliffCentral.com.